Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Welcome to another broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I am Ray Ishah Yisrael from the House of Israel, located at 1907 Vine Street, here to bring you nothing but the truth of the mighty Yahweh. And who is this Yah? Yahweh is the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, earth, and sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only king, the only redeemer, and the only savior of Israel in the world. Yahweh is the one who has inspired the Moray at the House of Israel to bring you his truth. And that's what we have come to do. Speak the truth of the mighty Yah. And today, we're going to discuss about Yahweh's intervention. Because Yahweh says this in the book of Amos. The third chapter. In Amos, the third chapter, it states, in verse 7 or verse 6, shall a trumpet be blown in the city, in the people? Be not afraid. Shall there be evil in the city, and Yahweh hath not done it? Surely, Yahweh will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? Yahweh has spoken, who can but prophesy? Yahweh has already spoken. So all we can do is hear what Yahweh has said. If there's anything done, Yahweh has done it. So will Yahweh intervene? Let me show you how our ancestors trusted in the Most High. How our ancestors knew if Yah would intervene or not. What kind of walk did they display that would let us know if they were more towards leaning towards their own understanding or if they were towards more leaning to see if Yahweh would save them? If Yahweh would come and be the Elohim that he said he is. Before we go to there, go to Psalms 34. And why would we have to deal with this today? Because today, Israel acts as if there is no Elohim. Acts as if Yahweh does not exist. Acts as if they do not believe in Yah. And I'm not just talking about those that don't even know who Yah is. I'm speaking about Israel, period. Even the ones that claim they know the Most High, behave ourselves as if Yahweh doesn't exist. But in Psalms 34, verse 6, it states, or verse 4, it states, I sought Yahweh. This is David speaking. I sought Yahweh, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So did David know if Yah would intervene or not? Well, why do you think he sought Yahweh? Because he knew Yah would be a deliverer. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and Yahweh heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Yahweh will hear you, and he will save you out of all your troubles. If you seek him, if you're looking for him, if you're waiting for him, if you believe him, let me show you what he told one of the kings of Yehuda in the book of Isaiah, the 7th chapter. Verse 1. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Yehuda, that Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it came, and it was told to the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and his heart was moved, and the heart of his people as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said Yahweh unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear Yashub, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. And say unto him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted for the two tails of these smoking fire bands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Yehuda and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Master Yahweh, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 70, which is 60, in 5 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. He said, if you don't believe what I'm saying, and this is Yahweh sending a message to the king of Yehuda, saying, if you don't believe, you won't be established. If you don't believe, Yah, you're not going to be established. And Yahweh is telling him that these kingdoms are not going to have success against this evil plot. He said, verse 10, and moreover, Yah spoke again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of Yah, thy Elohim. Ask it either in depth or in the height above. And Yah is even telling Ahaz, look, you want to even have a sign to know if I'm going to intervene in this situation? If I'm going to make sure what I'm saying is the truth, you want a sign? Ask me a sign. Ask it in depth or in height. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt Yahweh. And Yahweh, and he said, hear now, hear ye now, O house of David. It is a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my Elohim also? He's saying, oh, it's something small for you to just go and ask the king of Assyria to come and help you out. Because what Ahaz did. But are you not going to ask the Most High? Therefore, Yahweh himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, and the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. Yahweh shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come from the day that Ephraim parted from Yehuda, even the king of Syria. Letting them know that he was going to make sure these kingdoms would not stand. They wouldn't be able to do what they planned on doing because Yahweh intervened. But even though Ahaz was afraid to ask Yahweh, even though he asked the king of Assyria to help him, but if you don't believe, as he said, you won't be established. And Yahweh wants you to know that he is there for you. And look how our ancestors handled these situations. In the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter, in verse 10, it reads here, and there was a famine in the land of and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon, meaning I know that you're very beautiful. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me. They will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of you. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman that she was very fair. Now, why did Abram decide to do this thing? Because Abram knew that these men were vile. They go ahead and they'll cut his throat and take his wife because she's beautiful. But Abram also knew that Yahweh was on his side. Abram also knew that Yahweh was his Elohim. Abram also knew that Yahweh was his strong tower, his refuge, the one that he could run to, the one that he could trust in, knowing that even though he's going to do this thing, he trusts in Yah to protect him and his wife. And so it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman was fair. And the princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commanded her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake, meaning he gave Abram riches. Said, oh, that's your sister? And I'm going to take her in my house. And here's riches for your sister, instead of killing him. And he had sheep and oxen and asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And Yahweh plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plague because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And why did Yahweh do this? Because Abram trusted Yahweh. Abram waited for Yahweh. Abram knew Yahweh would do righteously unto him. Abram knew Yahweh was his defense. Abram knew Yahweh was his help. Even though these vile men that only had eyes to take this woman, he knew Yahweh would defend her and defend him. He knew Yahweh would intervene. Even though today we wouldn't even do such a thing, our wives, for the most part, wouldn't think to agree to such a thing. What would the women say today? The women would say, "Why? What's wrong with people knowing I'm your wife? Why can't they know that I'm your wife? Was you ashamed of being your wife? No, I'm not going to go with these other people. How? What's going to happen? What you going to, all these things, and just not depending on the Most High. Is Yahweh going to intervene? Or do you believe he's your Elohim? Or do you even believe he exists? Well, Abraham knew he existed. And Yahweh plagued Pharaoh and his house great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she is thy wife? Why saidst thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to be my wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her, and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. But he didn't die. His wife wasn't abused, and he received riches. He became blessed, and he waited for Yah, because Yahweh intervened for Abraham. Yahweh defended Abraham and his wife, Sarah. Why? Because Abraham believed Yah. Abraham knew Yahweh existed. Abraham trusted in Yahweh. What about your other forefather, Isaac? In Genesis, the 25th chapter, in Genesis 25, in verse 20, it says, "And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated Yahweh for his wife, because she was barren. And Yahweh was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived." That's that simple. Rebekah didn't run up and say, "Give me kids now. What's wrong with your seed? Why can't you give me children? There's something wrong with you. You're not doing something right." He entreated Yah. He prayed to Yah. He asked Yah for his wife to conceive. And Yahweh was entreated of by him, and Rebekah conceived. And how old was Isaac when Rebekah had children? He was 60 years old, which means what? They had to wait on Yahweh. They had to wait on Yah. Let me see if I find that scripture that says that he was 60. Yes, in verse 26 of the same chapter of Genesis 25, it says, "And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Yaakov. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bore them," which means he got married to Rebekah when he was 40. But 20 years later, he had children. What that means is Rebekah was barren for a while. Rebekah couldn't have children for a while. Some people get married and 9 months later they have children. But Rebekah didn't have children for 20 years. 20 whole years. Isaac had to wait. But he worshiped Yahweh. He was entreated of, he entreated Yah. And Yahweh heard him. And Yahweh blessed them. And Yahweh intervened. But yet Isaac didn't go to gene therapy, cell therapy. He didn't start complaining and saying Yahweh doesn't exist. No, when he saw that this thing wasn't working, when he saw that he wasn't having children, when his wife was not producing the children, when they saw this, they just worshiped Yahweh. They just asked Yahweh. They just called on Yahweh. They didn't start pointing a finger. They didn't start complaining. They didn't start beating each other up and trying to go have children with other people. They just worshiped Yah. That's all they did. Because they believed Yah. Because if you have a problem, if you have an issue, if you have a trouble, If you have a situation in which you cannot handle, in which you cannot figure out, in which you cannot solve, then you have to go to your king. You have to go to your father. You have to go to your Elohim. And you, I, and man, period, we don't have no control on this planet. So we should be going to Yahweh all the time. Why do you think the priest did the morning and evening sacrifice? Because they were always calling on the Creator, acknowledging the Creator, setting forth the word to the Creator that we need you. But if you don't believe the Creator, these are not the actions that you take. These are not the ways that you walk. But your forefathers believed Yahweh. Look at another one of your forefathers, Yahakov. Did he believe the Most High? Did Yahweh defend him? In the book of Genesis, the 31st chapter, the 22nd verse, it says, "And it was told to Laban on the third day that Yaakov was fled, and he took his brethren with him, and pursued after him 7 days' journey. And they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. And Elohim came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night, and said unto him, Take heed that thou speak not to Yaakov either good or bad. Then Laban overtook Yaakov, and now Yaakov pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said unto Yaakov, What hast thou done, that thou hast stolen away unawares to me, and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? Wherefore did thou flee away secretly and steal away from me, and didst not tell me, that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs, with tabret and with harp, and hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters, that thou hast now done foolishly in so doing? It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the Elohim of your father spoke unto me last night, saying, Take thou heed that thou speak not to Yaakov either good or bad. And so what is Laban letting you know? That Jacob had evil pronounced against him by Laban. They weren't going and pursuing Jacob to shake his hand. They were going to go get with him. Do violence to him. Say things to him. But Yahweh intervened. Yahweh stepped right into Laban's dream and said, You better not deal with my servant. Don't even speak to him in good or bad. Because Yaakov was leaving because Yahweh told him to. Yaakov was on the move because Yahweh told him to. And if he moved when Yah told him to move, then he knew that Yah was his defense. Yah was his shield. Yah was his buckler. Yah was his savior. Yah was his deliverer. Yahweh would stand for him. And he did. Yahweh intervened with Yaakov. Yahweh intervened for Isaac. Yahweh intervened for Abraham. But no, he didn't stop there. Even Joseph, look in the book of Genesis 41. And what are we discussing? Will Yahweh intervene? And will you believe him? Or do you even believe that he will? Does he exist to intervene in your situation, in your life? Or are you going to turn things upside down and do things that will create nothing but problems? Look what Joseph had to go through. In Genesis 41, verse 9, it reads, "Then spoke the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain's of the guard house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged." Now Joseph was in prison. First he got thrown in a pit by his brothers, sold into Egypt by the Ishmaelites, served as a slave to an Egyptian, falsely accused of rape, thrown into prison. Years, some men that were servants to Pharaoh had dreams. He interpreted their dreams. He said, "Don't forget me when you leave here, because I've given you what you asked for." He did forget about Joseph. Then Pharaoh had a dream sent by Yah that Pharaoh could not understand. It troubled Pharaoh, and he needed to know the interpretation of this dream, because this dream was sent by Most High. And why do you think Yahweh sent the dreams to these two servants of Pharaoh prior? So that they would have to remember Joseph. And now Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it." And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. Elohim shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Because Joseph believed Yahweh. Joseph trusted Yahweh. Joseph knew Yahweh. And Joseph said, "It ain't me that's going to be able to know your dream, but Yahweh will know. Elohim will know. I just know him. And he could tell me if he desires to. But I'm going to have to ask him." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "In my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in the meadow. Behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored, and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kind did eat up the first seven fat kind. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them. But they were still ill-favored, as at the beginning. So I awoke, and I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered thin, blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told thee this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. Elohim showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kind are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What Elohim is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known to the land by reason of that famine following. For it shall be very grievous. And for the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because this thing is established by Elohim, and Elohim will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint officers over the land, take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store in the land against the 7 years of famine, shall be in the land of Egypt, and the land perish not through the famine. So Joseph was able to interpret Pharaoh's dream, tell him what it meant, and told him what he should do. Because he said, Yahweh is doing this thing. Yahweh gave Joseph this wisdom. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such as one as this, a man in whom the spirit of Elohim is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as Elohim has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zophanpaneah, and he gave him to his wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of the deity. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Joseph became the ruler of Egypt. He got tossed in a pit, sold into Egypt by the Ishmaelites, made a slave to an Egyptian officer. Yahweh was with Joseph, so he made him head of all the Egyptian officer's house until he got falsely accused of attempting to rape him, his wife, got thrown in prison for years. But Yahweh was with him there, and so he was made chief over all the prison. Then he interpreted some important people's dreams. They remembered him. He had to interpret Pharaoh's dreams because Yahweh was with him, and he made him the head of the house of all of Egypt. Pharaoh said, I put you over all of Egypt. Why? Because Yah was with him. And why? Because Yahweh intervened in Joseph's situation. Joseph didn't protest, didn't picket and march and holler and throw rocks, do sit-ins, and all these things. He just served Yah. He kept Yah's law. He waited for Yah because he believed in Yah. Because he knew Yah exists. He knew Yah was real. He knew Yah is the Elohim in heaven. And he knew Yah would defend him. And Yahweh was with Joseph his entire life. And anytime Joseph was placed in a situation, Yahweh was with him, intervening in every step of Joseph's life. And why did Joseph have this? Because he believed Elohim. And then, look at the book of Exodus. And let's see about our ancestors and how we reacted to tribulation. In Exodus, the 17th chapter. Verse 1 reads, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of Yahweh, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. Now this is what we do. See, I showed you what Abraham did. And Sarah. I showed you what Isaac and Rebekah did, what Jacob did, and what Joseph did. That is how they acted. They had faith in Yah. They trusted in Yah. They knew Yah was their defense. But here you have the children of Yaakov, just like we're the children of Yaakov. They've been Egyptianized, they've been in Egypt for hundreds of years. They coming out, they in the wilderness now. They seen all these signs and these wonders that Yahweh did. Even Yahweh, the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, delivered them. Killed all the firstborn in Egypt. Made it darkness for 3 days in Egypt, but light among the Hebrews. Sent locusts, hail, and fire mingled with hail. Frogs and flies. Boils and plague, blood and all kind of destruction. Yet, in the wilderness, with Yahweh there in the cloud by day, in the pillar of fire by night, the people were thirsty because they were in the wilderness. There's no water in the wilderness. Very little water in the wilderness. The people were thirsty. And instead of being like Abraham, instead of being like Isaac and Rebekah and Sarah, instead of being like Yaakov, instead of being like Yosef, the people acted like the other nations, and they point the finger. They said, to Moses, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why are you complaining to me? Why are you chiding with me? Wherefore do you tempt Yahweh? You see what this does? You are taking out a situation on the wrong person. You're offending the wrong person. You should be going to Yah. And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore Is this that thou hast brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle thirst? You see, this is what our people are doing. This is how they react once they've been conditioned under the house of bondage. Once they've been conditioned under the oppressor's foot, they start acting like the other people. They didn't act like their forefathers. They didn't act like the holy men. They acted like anybody else would act that don't even want to acknowledge Yahweh. Moses, you brought us out here to kill us with thirst, us and our children and our cattle. You came to kill us by thirst. That's why you brought us out of Egypt, huh? Just to kill us. That's why you brought us over here just to do this. You do this. You, Moses. It's all you, Moses. And Moses cried unto Yahweh. And you see what Moses did? He didn't argue back with the people. He didn't turn back to the people and say anything. He cried unto Yahweh, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And Yahweh said to Moses, go on before the people and take with thee the elders of Israel in thy rod, wherewith thou smote the river. Take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Why? Moses, he didn't go and say to Yahweh, oh, Yahweh, you brought me out here to kill these people by thirst. Yahweh, you don't care about me. You just want me to die along with these people with thirst. No. He said, what am I supposed to do? They're about to kill me. I don't know what am I supposed to do, Yahweh? They're not, I'm going to have to be the big man here, the big leader. I'm going to have to be the big boy. Everybody else is complaining and pointing their finger. Let me go and ask Yahweh. And Yahweh told him what to do. Yahweh, of course, intervened. Yahweh did it because Moses asked him what to do. And he gave them water to drink. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel and because they tempted Yahweh, saying, is Yahweh among us or not? You see, they tempted Yah, doubting him. Doubting him. Is he here or not? Is Yahweh among us or not? Is he real? Why are we thirsty? Get a little thirsty and we start doubting if Yahweh is real? Go to the book of Numbers, the 11th chapter. In Numbers, the 11th chapter, first verse, it reads, and when the people complained, it displeased Yahweh, and Yahweh heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of Yahweh burnt among them and consumed them that were in the utmost parts of the camp. The people complained. It straight out says the people complained, and this complaining displeased Yahweh. And verse 2 says, and the people cried unto Moses. Not Yahweh. Why do people keep on crying to Moses? Because Moses is the leader. But they still not getting it. You don't cry to your leader. You call out to Yah. What should I do, Yahweh? They cried to Moses. They blame Moses. They stress Moses out. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto Yahweh, the fire was quenched. Because the people just, well, Moses, what are we supposed to do now? This fire is breaking up. So he got, y'all still don't see. You complaining against Yah? and he's destroyed you. Look at verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. How dishonorable can our people be to the Most High? The Most High went into Egypt and killed all the firstborn. Firstborn of cattle, the firstborn of every person. He killed the firstborn. He destroyed Egypt. He did a great work. He delivered these people who were wholly ungrateful. They was crying about cucumbers and fish and garlic and leeks and meat and sitting by the flesh pots. And they dishonored, just disrespected, just spit in Yah's face and said, all we got is this manna. What you mean all you got is this manna? This manna was delivered to our people by Yah himself in the wilderness. It just popped up every morning. Didn't have to lay seed. Didn't have to till the soil. Didn't have to slaughter any animals. Didn't have to give, deliver any babies and sheep. You didn't have to shear any sheep. You didn't have to do any work for this manna. Just like our people today, all these blessings and all this mercy that's around you now. But we complain, and Yahweh broke a fire out in the camp against the complainers. And then they started lusting after meat. And so what did Yahweh do? In verse 7, and the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about, gathered it, and ground it in mills, and beat it in mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was like the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of Yahweh was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto Yahweh, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in my bosom, as a nurse and father bear the suckling child, unto the land which thou swore unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh, that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of thy hand. For if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. And you see, Moses was tired of Israel, because Israel wore him out. Moses is like, man, I can't do this no more. You're going to make me do this alone? I can't do it no more. If you're going to make me do this alone, just kill me now. Kill me now. This is Moses. And did Yahweh intervene for Moses? In verse 16, and Yahweh said unto Moses, gather me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them to the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of thee of the spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, and thou bear as that thou bear it, not thyself alone. And say unto them, the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. So he let them, he intervened. He said, okay, Moses, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to give you some people to lighten your load. And he did. And what did he do for the people that cried for meat? In verse 18, it says, and say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves again tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh, for ye have wept in the ears of Yahweh, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Wherefore Yahweh will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. You shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20, but even a whole month, until it come out of your nostrils. And it shall be a loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised Yahweh which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came forth we out of Egypt? So we even got what we wanted. Yahweh heard the people complain and said, here, here's all the meat you can eat. And the people ate, and it came out of their nose, and they got sick, and they died. Because that's what they wanted. They wanted some meat. Even though Yahweh gave them everything they needed. But Yahweh still intervened. But you see, the people, they didn't believe Yahweh. Moses, every time he had an issue, he went to Yah. He believed Yahweh. He knew Yahweh was there. He understood Yahweh was there. But people, they just went to Moses. They just complained to Moses. They tried to kill Moses. They tried to slander Moses. They tried to scorn Moses. They tried to blame Moses for everything. And Moses let them know, you're not murmuring against me. You're murmuring against Yahweh. But Yahweh intervenes. He did come and deal with their murmurings. Also, look in the book of Esther. See about Yah's intervention. Some people will believe Yah. Some people will not. In the book of Esther, the third chapter, what do I want? The fourth chapter. Fourth chapter. Here, we'll see in the first verse. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes. Why? Because Haman, the servant of the king, he plotted to kill all the Hebrews. He said, I'm going to get all these Hebrews dead throughout all the provinces of the kingdom. And Haman convinced the king to allow this to happen. even though the king wasn't aware that he was plotting to kill his own wife. He was plotting to kill a man that even saved his life. And so Mordecai heard of this thing, and he rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes because he humbled himself. He was trying to get Yahweh's attention and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Why? Because we was humbling ourselves. We was afflicting our souls. We was sorrowful for the great trouble that was brought on our people. And we did not bang down the doors of the government. We did not bang down the doors of City Hall and ask for reparations and ask for relief and ask for restoration. We sat in sackcloth and ashes, fasted and cried. Maybe our Elohim would hear us. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Yehudim to destroy them. And he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make a request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spoke to Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king in the inner court who is not called, there is one law of him to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come unto the king these 30 days. And they told it to Mordecai, Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Yehudim. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then there shall enlargement and deliverance arise to the Yehudim from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Mordecai corrected Esther, saying, "Remember, you are not there for yourself. You are not there to protect yourself. You are not there for your own salvation. How do you know you're not there like Joseph was placed in Egypt to be a deliverer for your people? Think not that Yahweh won't deliver us. He'll deliver us. But you won't be delivered if you don't stand for Yah today. If you don't believe in the Most High, he's going to entreat for us. He's going to intervene for us. And you could be the one he uses. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the people to deem that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. So Esther understood this thing. And she went, and the king wasn't treated by her. And the end of the matter was, Yahweh delivered all the Hebrews, every last one of them. If you read in the ninth chapter, let's see. I want to get right to where it just tells us exactly what happened. It's in the ninth chapter. First verse says, now in the 12th month, that is the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution, in the day that the enemies of the Yehudanites hoped to have power over them, though it was turned into the contrary that the Yehudadin had rule over them that hated them. The Yehudadin gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell on all people. And all the rulers of the provinces and the lieutenants and the deputies and officers of the king helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out through all the provinces, for this man Mordecai was greater and greater. Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword and slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto those that hated them. And in Shushan, the palace of the Yehuda, and in Shushan, the palace, the Yehudadin slew and destroyed 500 men. And Parshutha, and Dalphon, and Aphatha, and Poratha, and Adalia, and Aridatha, and Parmashta, and Arisai, and Aridai, and Vedtha, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hamaditha, the enemy of the Yehudadin, slew they, but on the spoil laid they not their hand. On that day, the number of those that were slain in Shushan, the palace, was brought before the king. And the king said unto Esther the queen, the Yehudadin have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan the palace, and the 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. Or what is thy request further? And it shall be done. Then Esther said, Esther, if it please the king, let it be granted to the Yehudadin, which are in Shushan, to do tomorrow also according unto this day's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows. And the king commanded it so it to be done, and the decree was given at Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. For the Yehudadin that were in Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day, also of the month of Adar, and slew 300 men at Shushan. But on the prey they laid not their hand. But the other Yehudim that were in all the king's provinces gathered themselves together and stood for their lives and had rest from their enemies and slew of their foes 75,000, but they laid not their hands on the prey. What transpired was because of the Yehudim, the Hebrews of that time, they humbled themselves, they fasted, they put on sackcloth and ashes to entreat, to seek, to ask for the help of the Almighty, and he brought deliverance through Mordecai and Queen Esther. And she asked, said, look, I need these people killed. They're trying to kill us, and we need to be able to kill them. The king said, go ahead. Do your thing. That only comes from Yahweh. That's Yahweh's intervention. And they believe the Most High because Yahweh defended them. This is what you'll see amongst Yahweh's faithful. He will continuously deliver his people. But today, our people are lying children. Children in where there is no faith. What did Yahweh say in the book of Deuteronomy? The 32nd chapter. In Deuteronomy chapter 32. Start reading at verse 16, where Yahweh says, they provoked him to jealousy with strange Elohim. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not Elohim, to Elohim who they knew not, to new Elohim that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begot them, that are unmindful, and that has forgotten Elohim that formed thee. And when Yahweh saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their latter end shall be. For they are a very forward generation, children in whom there is no faith. Yahweh said, because you have done this abominable work, made idols and set up idols in the midst of your heart, you set up idols before the Creator, you provoked him to anger and jealousy with things that aren't even the Creator, that aren't the Most High. He said, therefore, I will hide my face from them and see what their latter end shall be. And you want to know why we're waiting this long for Yahweh? Because he said, I'm going to wait till their latter end. I'm going to let this whole thing play out. You wanted to go serve other deities. You wanted to be like other nations. You wanted to act like other people. You wanted to forget Yahweh, the Elohim of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. You wanted to forget the one that delivered Abraham and Sarah. You wanted to forget the one that delivered Isaac and Rebekah, Yaakov and the 12 tribes of Israel. You wanted to forget the one that delivered the Hebrews out of the Babylonians, Daniel out of the lion's den, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah out of the fiery pit. You want to forget Yahweh that delivered the children of Israel every time with all the judges and all the kings and all the trouble that has befallen Israel. You want to forget him and set up Christ and set up Uncle Al and set up Uncle Bud and set up all these fake gods that ain't got nothing to do with the Most High, that ain't got nothing to do with the truth of Yah. You want to forget them? You want to forget him and act as if he isn't real, as if you need to sell crack to your people just so you can make it, as if you need to call on JC, as if you need those doctors, as if you need those magicians, you need those tarot cards. That's what you think you need, them horoscopes. No. I'm going to let you see what this end is going to be. Because you're a froward generation, children in whom there is no faith. And saying that as soon as the water dry up, you complaining. As soon as the food basket is empty, you blaming Yah. As soon as the bank account goes negative, you blame Yahweh. And never just asking him. Never seeking him. He said he's going to see how that's going to work for you. Like the people say today, how's that working for you right now? So they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not Elohim. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Now he got us all wrapped up in envying and jealous of people that ain't even people. Foolish nation. People that ain't even people. Yahweh said, for a fire is kindled in my anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase. And set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend my arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat and bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword without and terror within shall destroy young man and the virgin. Suckling also with the man of gray hairs. I said I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Why do you think you don't know who you are today? Why you think you don't know what your name is today? Why you think people just choosing their tribe by the month that they was born? Because the remembrance of Israel has ceased from among men. But what did Yahweh say later on in this song? In verse 35, he says, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. For Yahweh shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are your gods, their rock whom they trusted? Which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drink the wine of their drink offerings. Let JC get up now. Let your deity come up out of that black stone you're throwing stones at now. Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. Why aren't they getting up? Why hasn't JC saved you? See, now I, even I, am he. And there is no Christ. There is no Muhammad. There is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. Yahweh is the king. There is none else. Yahweh is the one that will intervene for Israel. Yahweh said that we would be here 400 years. And now the people are standing up bold and loud voices, disclaiming your very captivity. Oh, no, that's not it. 400 years don't exist. Well, they're just like our people in the wilderness. Is Elohim with us or not? They don't believe. But what did Yahweh say? What did Yahweh say about this? In Jeremiah 30th chapter, the 7th verse, Yahweh said, alas, for that day is great, so that there is none like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Yahweh said he will be saved out of this trouble. But if you don't believe, you will not be established. Just like he told Ahaz. You will be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day. What day? The time of Jacob's trouble, saith Yahweh, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck. In the time of Jacob's trouble, your yoke of iron will be broken off your neck. I will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no longer serve themselves of him. He's going to intervene, and thou shalt seek Yahweh, but you shall serve Yahweh your Elohim, and David your king, whom I will raise up unto them. Yahweh going to intervene. In the book of Isaiah, the 60th chapter. But as he told Ahaz, if you do not believe, you shall not be established. And this is why nobody wants to tell you it's the 400 years. Because they don't believe Yahweh. They don't trust Yahweh. They're afraid to declare that the 400 years is real. They're afraid to be wrong. And why are they afraid to be wrong? Because Yahweh ain't speak to them. Yahweh ain't inspire them. Yahweh ain't tell them a mumbling word. But Yahweh, he spoke to his servants. And he let his servants know in the book of Isaiah, the 60th chapter, the 8th verse, he said, who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me in the ships of Tarshish first to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them unto the name of Yahweh thy Elohim, to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. Yahweh is coming to deliver you. Yahweh is going to send the strangers to come get you. Why? Because he's going to intervene. Only through Yahweh's intervention will he bring the ships of the people that enslaved you to bring you home. In Isaiah, the 14th chapter, the first verse, it says, for Yahweh will have mercy on Yahakov, and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. and strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Yahakov, and the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of Yahweh's servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in that day that Yahweh shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. Why? Because Yahweh will intervene. Yahweh will deliver his people. Yahweh's divine intervention will come. But he said, if you do not believe, you will not be established. Look in the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. If you don't see, if you cannot understand, if you haven't heard that Yahweh is coming, then what are you listening to? All the people running around telling you that Yahweh's not coming, that Yahweh's not going to deliver you in 400 years, that Yahweh just wants you to wait till everybody does righteously? Where is that? He already told us that he's not delivering us for our righteousness. Ain't for our righteousness, but for his holy name's sake. This ain't got nothing to do with your righteousness, because Yahweh said our righteousness is as a filthy rag. He's coming to intervene for his holy name's sake. And in Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, the 21st verse, Yahweh says, and say unto them, thus saith the Master, Yahweh, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and I will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land, and will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. One shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their Elohim. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Why? Because Yahweh will intervene. But if you believe, you will not be established. Yahweh is going to save us. Yahweh will intervene. But if you don't believe the Most High, you're not going to make it anyway. Because the ones that believe Yahweh are the ones that's going to call on Yahweh, are the ones that's going to humble themselves and fast and in sackcloth and ashes with dirt upon their head, knowing that we need Yahweh to come help us. We need Yahweh to intervene. We need Yahweh to send deliverers and saviors to us so we can become saved, delivered, and helped and restored, so we may have rest from all our enemies. But yet, if you do not believe, you will not be established, as Yahweh told his servants. Will Yahweh intervene? He already has. Will you believe Yah? Hallelujah. And until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do I. Shalom.
Everybody to stand up, rise to their feet for the great King. Give it up for Yahweh, everybody.
Hallelujah.
Praise Yah.
Hallelujah.
Give it up for Yah.
Praise
the Most High.
Give it up. The Elohim of Yisrael. Yahweh. Come on, give it up for the Most High.
Elohim, Israel's mighty king, the one whom my heart clean, put water in the stream, give the peace to my scene, no release from the dreams, needles to the fiends, hollows in the magazine, swallow this communicate, every word that God say, gotta fear him every day, serve him in, gonna break him, listen in his holy way, many people they will hate, but listen never from the evil state, try to advocate, to abominate, all pagans I consolidate, they will all meet the same fate, find them easy like cheese grate, stuff them all in the pot like you eating cheesecake, put them all to the fire, watch the peace obliterate, now I can't commiserate, Yahweh fill my plate, now they Yahweh, when he taking bodies like Super 8, the world visited you, honey to my taste, come on, give it up for the Most High, give it up for the Most High, praise Yah, give it up for the Most High, give it up for the Most High, hallelujah. Give it up for the Most High, give it up for the Most High, praise Yah. Give it up for the Most High, give it up for the Most High, hallelujah. I know you always looked at me wrong. Just thought I was nothing, just a dance in the song. A gun in your hand, a slave on your land, a gold in the sand, though I'm the purple of a man. Know that I'm the apple of his eye, his beautiful wife, the mess in the palm of his hand. The glory of his light, I'm placing the right. It's a light, the love of his life. Who's his, what's his, know the biz. Please let him know the name of his. Yo, hey, why, hey, need an explanation of this. Yahweh, Elohim, creator of all the is. Now from Adam's out of the way. Next is casualties and the people you slay. All these that you pray, all these a day. What you expect from the vices you make. But can't sleep, walk, talk, or eat. Let alone do anything great. They say, Yah, real Israel, who would be when your knees would come loose in the sea. Now in the heat, all faces to the king. Give it up for Yahweh, come on. Give it up for the Most High, give it up for the Most High, praise Yah. Give it up for the Most High, give it up for the Most High, hallelujah. Give it up for the Most High, give it up for the Most High, praise Yah.